Baruch Hashem. Okay. Now, morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos daf Kuf Yudalei. We're on Kuf Yigimel Amud Beis. Thanking the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Bilona Zecher Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. The discussion. It's a short parak. It's two blot and Mir Hashem. We're going to finish it today. The discussion we're continuing from yesterday is a discussion about who can get a divorce, who can give a divorce. The Mishnah has been discussing people who do not have das. Cheresh, if the man is a cheresh, a deaf mute, or if the woman's a cheresh, so she's a deaf mute. So when the Mishnah was an algorithm, it went through all the different permutations of what happens if he marries her and what happens if two brothers married to women, what if two brothers married two sisters, and all the permutations of he's a cheresh, she's a cheresh, one of the brothers is a cheresh, one of the sisters is a cheresh, and the Mishnah went through every single scenario. The larger theme that we discussed yesterday of this parak, of this very short parak, is that the Chachamim instituted marriage in areas where really there is no marriage in the Torah. So in other words, with a marriage, you need das, you need compliant das on both the parties, on both the men and on the women. The woman, without das, you simply can't have a marriage. A marriage is a kinyan; it's an acquisition, and like all kinyanim needs two consenting parties. So when it comes to marriage, you too also need two consenting parties. And meanwhile, the chachamim realize how important marriage is, and how lo tov li osa adam levado. It's not good for a man to be by himself. So therefore, what the chachamim did is they gave some sort of institutional marriage for people who do not have the requisite das. So when it comes to a cheresh, a deaf mute, so what was the Gemara's language yesterday? There's das klisha. There's a nominal amount of das, enough so that they could get married and that they could sustain some sort of marriage. By a shota, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, if he's deranged or she's deranged, so the chachamim did not institute marriage for a shota. The Gemara yesterday described it as being ein adam dar im nachash b'kfifa achas. It's like living with a snake. It's an untenable position. The Chachamim did institute marriage for the Shota, but the Chachamim did institute marriage for the Cheresh and for the Chereshes. Good. That's all just a quick review of what we saw yesterday. And we are in the Gemara in Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. We're starting in Ishtates. We're now describing... what happens if she becomes insane? So, in other words, they got married, and when at the time of the marriage, both him and her had all of their mental stability and sanity, and then Rachman al-Islam nishtate, she becomes insane. So, what did the Mishnah say under such circumstances? If you remember the Mishnah, so right, the Mishnah says nischarish on nishtate eino motzia olamis. So. Sorry, let me go back. No, right. No, just one back, one line. So, Pikech Shenasa Pikacha, right, I'm back in the Mishnah, I'm just reviewing. It's the fourth line of the Mishnah. If you have a Pikech and a Pikach is getting married, meaning they both have their mental sanity, Vinis Charsha, and the Mishnah says, and she becomes a deaf mute, Imratza Yotzi, Vimratza Yikayim. So there, you could divorce her, you could keep her. Nishtateis, Lo Yotzi, but if she becomes insane, so then you can't divorce her. And just from a halachic standpoint, meaning not the social emotional standpoint, from the halachic standpoint, what's the difference? And the Gemara is about to point out there is no difference. I'm Rav Yitzchak. We're starting with the Gemara. Dvar Torah Shota Miskaresh is me to have a pikachas. So the Bal Karcha. So the truth of the matter is that a shota can receive a gerushin, meaning because, as we've said now already a number of times, you don't. For the woman does need das when it comes to gerushin. For the entrance into marriage, so both parties need das, but for the exit of the marriage, so only one needs das, and not the man needs das, not the woman. So the truth of the matter is that a shota can really receive a divorce. However, the Chachamim realize that if you take a shota and you quote-unquote release her into the world, and you let her go, so what's going to happen? She's going to get abused and exploited, and so the Chachamim said to the husband, okay, you gotta maintain her, you gotta keep her. So the Gemara says, now hold on one second, hechidami, ilamidi odas lishmar gita biodas lishmar atzma. So the Gemara says, are we talking about a scenario where she knows not only to safeguard herself, but also how to safeguard her get? So mina hagim be minagefka. So the Gemara says, well, look, she might be quote unquote clinically insane. Okay, whatever the whatever the diagnosis is. But if she at least knows how to take care of her, both her get and herself, so then it's pashut. So that she can get a divorce. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're talking about a woman who's so clinically insane that she doesn't know how to safeguard neither herself nor her get. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if that's true, so then the whole premise of the discussion is wrong. She can't get a divorce, the Gemara points out, the number of drashas. Two drashas, actually, to be specific. The Gemara quotes one drasha. In order for a woman to get a divorce, she doesn't need das, but she needs a yad. She needs a hand. A hand in this context means that she has to be able to take something, collect something, and hold on to it, and keep it, and safeguard it. She needs that. And also, she has to have at least enough requisite understanding that a divorce means that she goes out and she doesn't come back. This woman, you send her away, she comes back because she's clinically deranged. So the Gemara says, so that's not, such a woman is not subject to a divorce. So, again, the beginning of the entire discussion is that minat Torah, you can divorce a shota. The reason why is because you don't need her das. It's true you don't need her das, but you need some certain basic principles. You need her to be able to hold the get and to safeguard it. And you need her to understand that this is it. There's a finality to this act and you can't come back. And if that, and if you don't have that, so then you can't give a get minat Torah. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says we're somewhere in the middle. Meaning the discussion we're having on our Mishnah and the statement of Rav Yitzchak is talking about a woman who is on the line, and on one hand she knows how to be shomer her get, but she doesn't know how to be shomer herself. So the fact that she's shomer get means that she has enough das where the get works, meaning she can safeguard the get. But the chachamim said, but don't divorce her. And why not? Because once you divorce her, then basically you're exposing her to exploitation and abuse. So therefore, don't divorce her. Keep her, even though Minatora, you can give her a get, but still you should not. The Chachamim told you that you gotta, Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan for you is you gotta take care of her, and you gotta keep her. I'm Rabbi Dekonomic Diktani, and Rabbi says, I'll tell you what, if you look back at the Mishnah, you read the Mishnah carefully, you will see it's Meduik in the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Gabi Dida Nishtates Lo Yatzi, because if you look at the Mishnah describes two scenarios. What if she becomes insane? What if he becomes insane? If she becomes insane, the Lashon of the Mishnah is Lo Yotzi. No divorce. But when it talks about his insanity, Lo Yotzi Olamis. What does the Mishnah say? He can't divorce her forever. Okay, one additional word, but what is that one additional word teaching us? Maishna hacha diktani olamis, maishna hasam deloktani olamis. Simple question. When describing the man becoming insane, we say lo yotzi olamis. Why the word olamis? Because olamis means it can't happen. Why can't it happen? Because he's insane. And for a get, in order for a get to occur, you need his das. So that's why it says olamis by the man. When she becomes insane, technically it can happen. Meaning a man could divorce a woman even though she becomes insane. Either Chachamim don't want you to do that, that's what the Mishnah is telling us. The Chachamim don't want you to do it. And that's the difference between man when it says olamis, by woman it doesn't say olamis. All right. I'm Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. You go back to the Mishnah. Again, let's just review the basic point of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that if he loses his mind or she loses her mind, so then there cannot be a divorce. I'm Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. I'm back in the Mishnah. I'm just reviewing. It's the seventh line of the Mishnah. The sixth line. So I'm Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Mimnei maha isha nishinishchar she yotze va'isha nishchar she'en amotzi. So Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, I don't understand. A woman who becomes a deaf-mute, so she can get a divorce, but the man who becomes a deaf-mute, he can't divorce his wife. So Amru lo, so what did they say to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri? Eino dama isha megaris lisha mitgaresha she'isha yotze l'ritzona, u'shelo l'ritzona v'isha n'amotzi ela l'ritzona. And so the Chachamim said to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, what do you mean, what's the difference? It's very simple. The man needs das, the woman does need das. A woman can get a divorce even against her will. That's the difference. It's clear from the Mishnah that Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is arguing. Which part exactly is he arguing with? That's the Gemara's question. In other words, we know that he's objecting to the Tanna Kamma. It's just not perfectly clear what he's objecting to. So I'm Rav Yochanan ben Nuri v'chuli ibailu. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri ish pshitalei v'isha kamibailei. Is it that he was, for the man, he says, I get it. A man becomes a deaf mute. He can't give a divorce. I'm with that. And it's the woman that troubles him. That the woman who is a deaf mute can receive a divorce. It's that point that troubles him. Or maybe no. Just the opposite. He agrees with the woman that a woman who becomes deaf mute can receive a divorce. V'ish kami ba'elei. And what he doesn't understand is why can't a man who is a deaf mute give a divorce? So tashma. So again, we don't follow like Rav Yochanan, or we go like the Tanna Kamma. All we're doing right now in the Gemara is just trying to understand where Rav Yochanan ben Uri is arguing with the Tanna Kamma. So the Gemara says, let's see. Mitkamar le ino dome ha ish hamigaresh li isha mitkaresh et sha isha yotel ritzona shalom ritzona ve isha nemotzeel ritzona shmamina ish kami baile. So look at the response, meaning what you can do is you can gather, Rav Yochanan ben Uri doesn't say much, but based on what the response was to Rav Yochanan ben Uri, so then we can and work a little bit in reverse engineering and figure out what Rav Yochanan ben Uri was objecting to. What did the Chachamim say back to Rav Yochanan ben Uri? The man is not comparable to the woman. And here's why the reason why the man is not comparable to the woman. So it sounds like what Rav Yochanan ben Uri was objecting to was the man. So the Gemara says, Adrab, mitkamalei avzu kayotze ba, shmamina isha kami ba'ilei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you look ahead in the Mishnah, let's read one more line in the Mishnah, heyed Rav Yochanan ben Gudgada, just going back to the Mishnah, and going over one more line of Mishnah, alech heresha sheisiu avia, sheyotza beget, that there was a chereshes that the father married off, and she accepted a get. Accepted. You know, she was given a get. So amru lo, so they say avzu kayotze ba. Oh, same thing over here. Okay, so from that point of Rav Yochanan ben Gudgada, what does it sound like? It sounds like the focus of our attention was on the woman, not the man. Gemara makes exactly that point. So Ella Rav Yochanan ben Uri, sorry, Shmamina ish kami ba adraba midikam le avzu kayotze ba shmamina isha kami ba le Ella Rav Yochanan ben Uri divrem kamar lehu. So the Gemara says like this. Really, true of the matter is Rav Yochanan ben Uri was not explaining or discussing his own opinion. He was saying, look, according to you Chachamim, let me see if I can understand your position. As far as I'm concerned, a man can't give a get when he's a deaf mute, and a woman can't receive a get when she's a deaf mute. But and that's my opinion, and good, and leave that alone. But according to you, I don't understand your consistency. So Amrulay and Odoma Isha Megarshli Isha Mitgareshet. And that's what the Chachamim were explaining. That look, what do you mean you don't understand our consistency? The halacha for a man and a woman are different regarding a get, period. But in other words, what Rav Yochanan ben Uri was not doing was he was not giving his own opinion and then allowing them to banter about his own opinion. His own opinion is his own opinion. He was just trying to understand, according to the Chachamim, why are they inconsistent? Okay. Hey, Rav Yochanan ben Gudgada, we're back to the Gemara. Amarava meidusa shor Rav Yochanan ben Gudgada. So what do you see from Yochanan ben Gudgada? That a woman who is a chereshes can receive a get. So what do we see from that? Again, I know we're pointing this out again. You don't need das. In other words, a woman does not need das when she receives a get. So the Gemara says, so we can extend this idea even to a woman with das in the following scenario. Amar la'edim, re'u gezesh ani no sein. So a man is ready to divorce his wife, and he first turns to the witnesses when his wife is not in the room and says, look, you see this? It's called a get. I'm going to give my wife a get. Okay, so he sets the Edom up, so he contextualizes the scene so that the Edom understand that he's about to give his wife his get. The Amarla, and then the wife comes in and he says to her the following, Kansi Sharchovzeh, you see this telephone bill? Could you do me a favor? Could you take this telephone bill for me? Okay, I'm using telephone bills just simply as an example. So, in other words, it's a shtarchov. It's a note. So, just take it off my hand. So, Hareza Megureshes, and she takes it from him. She collects it into her lap. So, that's a gerushin. Even though at the time when she was given this document, she did not understand that was, in fact, a get. And the Gemara says, and it works as a gerushin. Now, we're not discussing ethics and morals over here. And the Gemara is going to, about to explain why it is that he didn't tell her the truth in terms of what it is. But right now, we're just dealing with the halacha that you don't need her das. And because you don't need her das, she doesn't need to know at the time when she's actually receiving and collecting it that it's a get. So the Gemara says, look, it's a simple extension from our Mishnah. Milo amar Rav Yochanan ben Gudgada lo bi'ina daita achanami lo bi'ina daita. You don't need her das. So the Gemara first of all says, look, I'll tell you what, it's obvious. Meaning, you're making this sound like this is a big stretch. It's not a big stretch. Gemara says, I'll tell you in this particular case what I might have thought. I might have thought that once you call the get a shtar chov, right? You say, here, do me a favor, take this telephone bill. So maybe what we could assume or understand is that he was trying to be mevatel the get. He was trying to nullify the get. Okay, when we get to Gittin, specifically the fourth parak of Gittin, we're going to learn together that it's within the husband's power to be mevatel get. He can nullify a get. He can negate a get even after he wrote it. Not after he gave it to her. After he gave it to her, story's over. But in other words, while it's en route to her, okay, we're going to see this together in the fourth parak. So that it's within the husband's right and ability to be mevatel get. We're going to discuss a gzera derabanan. Okay, but right now, we'll just focus on the fact that he called the get a shtar chov. Maybe he was being mevatel to the get. So the Gemara says, "He said, 'Debatle le'edem avikamer lahu, umidelo amar le'edem lo batle v'lo midi.'" The Gemara says, and in this case, we know he's not being mevatel to the get. Why do we know that? Because remember what happened. He first turned to the edem and he said to the edem, "This is a get. I'm going to give my wife a get. Okay, are you ready?" So in other words, so clearly from the fact that he told the edem that it's a get, he wasn't negating the get. And then when he handed her to her, he said, here, take this telephone bill. So the Gemara says, V'hai dekamer hachi? So why did he tell her that it's a telephone bill? Why didn't he just simply say to her, it's a get? The Gemara says, Machmas kisufa hu dekamer lohu. Or should say la. Yep. So, and he was embarrassed. In other words, it's hard, it's difficult, and he was a little bit embarrassed, so he made up a story. But from a halachic standpoint, it in fact works. He doesn't need her das. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the discussion in the Gemara, really the end of yesterday's daf, and the end of the discussion in the Gemara regarding das, why a woman doesn't need das. It's very clear. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri may argue with this point. In fact, he does. But the halach is that the Tanakhama and Rav Yochanan ben Gudgada and the Gemara just concluded that a woman does not need das when receiving a get. The Gemara now, from this point going forward, is going to be treating only one more topic of discussion in this perek. As I mentioned yesterday, it's a short perek. And the last topic, very interesting topic coming up right now, and that is the following. Okay, I'll introduce it quickly, and then we'll get to the Gemara. We know, generally speaking, that the father has an obligation to be mechanech his child. He's got to teach his child how to live Yiddishkeit, how to practice Yiddishkeit. The mitzvah of chinuch, we've said time and again, is the simplest way to say it, it's the mitzvah derabbanan, right? It's a there is a mitzvah in the Torah to teach your children Torah, right? The Limud Torah is a mitzvah daraisa. We say when we say the Shema every day, but in terms of in terms of chinuch, right? What we call again and again throughout the Gemara chinuch. So ostensibly that's a mitzvah derabbanan. The Gemara says on a number of occasions that when the child does a mitzvah when he's underage, because the father is instructing him to do so, so that for sure what he's doing is at best a derabbanan, a din derabbanan. And there's a discussion we saw that in Brachos together with the Rashi and the Tosfos over there, the mitzvah of chinuch is on the child, the mitzvah of chinuch is on the father. Okay, we had that discussion in the Rishonim. Okay, but right now we're not discussing chinuch. But I'm using it just as a way of framing our entire discussion, and that is the following: you see a child. Okay, I'm not going to give out ages today because I don't know what the right ages are to give out. But you see a child, and let's say he's eating Isser. Okay, and let's say he's a young child, and he's eating Isser. Are you obligated to take that away from him? Meaning, as a concerned, right, concerned citizen. We don't even have to be talking about the father. We could be talking about any Jew. Kaisal or even Zelazer. Everyone has a responsibility to one another. So are you responsible to take it away from him? Let's say you see a child on Shabbos ripping grass out of the ground. You have to go over to the child and say to him, hey, you can't do that. In other words, to what degree do we have to separate children from Isurim? This is the Gemara's terminology, which we're going to see a number of times over today, is based in Mitzuvim Lahafrisho. Is based in. And when we say based in over here, we don't actually mean a court, like a three-panel tribunal. We just simply mean a responsible party. Are they responsible for separating the child from Isurim? Yes or no? Anyone know what the answer is? It's okay. It's for all Isurim. We're going to be discussing in the course of the next lot of Gemara from here until the end of the parak. So we're going to be discussing all various Isurim. There's not going to be, we're going to be talking about Kashrus. We're going to be talking about Shabbos. We're talking about Tumas Kohanim. We're going to be all over the place. Okay, so huh? Yeah, I didn't say how old the child is. Not because I'm trying to be difficult, just simply because the Gemara doesn't say, and you know, yeah, correct. In other words, if he's the yeah, okay. Anyway, but just the general this general idea, we'll discuss it in generic terms, in broader terms. Okay, so but we start with a story. So we're in the bottom of Kuf Yigimel Amud Beis. Rav Yitzchak Bar Biznei Irkasu Le Miftechei Debei Midrasha Bereshus Rabim. Rav Yitzchak Bar Biznei lost his keys. Okay, not a daily occurrence for me, but it happens. And and he lost the keys to the Beis Medrash, even worse. And it was in a Rishus Rabim on Shabbos, which makes it now even worse. In other words, when I say lose the keys, he knows where the keys were, but they were misplaced and they were in the Rishus Rabim on Shabbos. Here's the problem. You can't pick up the keys and carry them in the Rishus Rabim. So what is he going to do? So, I'm sorry, Bishab Asa. Also coming to Rabbi Pedas, he goes to Rabbi Pedas and he says, what do I do? So Rabbi Pedas says, here's what you do. Okay. Amar Lei Zil Dabar Tali Utalia. Take a boy, take a girl. And Vilitailu Hasam. And take a little walk with them in the Rishus Rabim, and Dimashkachlu Maisalahu. And if they find the key, they're going to pick it up and they're going to walk it through the Rishus Rabim back to where you need it. Okay, so have a kid do it. Amakasaver, good. I'm sorry. Period. Okay, so that was the advice given by Rabbi Pedas over to Rav Yitzchak Bar Biznei, and sounds like there was no protest, and that's exactly what they did. Okay, and now
he didn't tell the kids directly.
Correct. And then there was no instruction to the child that you're going to do it if the child happens to see the key, and if the child happens to pick it up, so then good. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? That if a child is eating nevela, now I know this is not exactly eating nevela, but like I said in the introduction, we're talking about all Isurim. If you see a child engaged in Isurim, so Beis Din does not have a requirement to separate him from an Isur. So Lema Misayele, for the rest of the daf today, we're going to be challenging this premise, challenging it, supporting it. We're going to be quoting a number of Mishnayos and Braisos that are going to either seem to support or challenge. So the Gemara says, let's start off with a siyua. We'll start off with a support. Lo yamar adam latino kabeli miftech havalichosam ela minicho tolish minicho zorik. So the Gemara starts off with a Braisa. It's a Braisa, it's a Mishnah. Okay, whichever. So a person shouldn't say to a child, go bring me that key, go bring me that seal, but write to Chosam. But Menicho Tolish, Menicho Zorik. But if leave the child alone, if the child wants to rip it up, pluck it off the ground, if the child wants to throw it, that's fine. So I'm Rabbaye Tolish Batsi Shenonakov Zorik Bekamelis Rabbanan. So the Gemara says that's not a proof, because maybe what the Bryce is talking about is that in order for the child to gain access to the Mafteach, all he needs to do is not violate Isur Derais or just Isur Derabanan. The plant on Shabbos could be not the grass or the plant cannot be in the ground, but it's in a pot, an unholy pot, right? So in other words, it's not connected to the ground, so it's not an Issur D'oraisa to remove something from the pot, it's an Issur D'rabbanan, or the area that we're talking about is not in Rishus HaRabim, but rather it's a Carmelist. Carrying in a Carmelist is an Issur D'rabbanan. Maybe then, under those circumstances, you don't have to stop the child. But it had been a real Issur D'oraisa, then you have to stop the child. So, no proof from there. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, how about this? This is a Mishnah Shabbos. Okay, this I remember being a Mishnah. Ovekochem Shabalachabos. Let's say you have a non-Jew who's going to turn off the light on Shabbos. Meaning you're in your house, you left the light on, right? I understand back in the Gemara they were discussing fire, but same basic idea. So you left the fire on, and now you want to go to bed, but it's not dark. So, and the guy, your next door neighbor is a guy, and he's extremely helpful and caring, and he comes over and he wants to put it out. You don't have to give him instruction. You don't have to say, put it out. You don't have to say, don't put it out. You're not responsible for his Shabbos. He doesn't have to be Shomer Shabbos. In fact, we can even go one step further. He can be Shomer Shabbos. But okay. But in other words, but you're not responsible to tell him to, you know, hey, it's Shabbos, don't put it out. He's not a Jew. So katan abal chabas amrim lo atich beshishvius and so aleim. But if a minor comes in and he says, oh, right, a minor Jew, and he says, oh, you want to go to bed? You want to put the fire out? No problem at all. I'll do it. So here the Mishnah says, you have to tell him, don't do it. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Sounds pretty clear from the Mishnah that you have to intercede and you have to stop him. I'm Rav Yochanan, but Osal Das Aviv. So the Gemara says no. And that Mishnah over there was describing not where the child was doing it on his own for himself. He was doing it Al Das Aviv because he knew that the father wanted it. Meaning the father was complaining, how can I go to bed tonight? The light's still on. I don't understand. What am I supposed to do? And the child understands now that, oh, I'm doing it for my father. If he's doing it for the father, that you can't do in Shabbos. And that's what the Mishnah is forbidding. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, well then, in the same Mishnah, remember we were contrasting a non-Jew to a minor. So we said, by the minor, you have to stop him from doing so. Why? So the way we explain the Mishnah is because he's doing it really for you. Well, if the guy is doing it for you also, isn't that a problem? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, no, fundamentally, is not doing it for you, he's doing it for himself. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Let's read Rashi together inside. Ove kochav ma'adaita d'nafshe avid. Afilo b'lo yidiyas Yisrael. Ha'ove kochav miskavin lahano so. Shiyodeh shitoschar. So Rashi says, because you know, the guy knows that eventually he's going to get remunerated. He'll get some sort of compensation for helping out. Right after Shabbos, so you know, you may get a gift. You may, in other words, he's doing it for you, but really fundamentally he's doing it for himself. So that's the reason why for the guy it would be okay. Now, just I'll mention it now, but it's a Shabbos discussion. There's a rabbinic prohibition of Amir Lakum. You can't ask a guy to do something for you on Shabbos. Asking a guy to do something for you on Shabbos is an issur d'rabbanan. Okay, there's one sheet amongst Rishonim that's an issur d'oraisa, but it's a but principally it's an issur d'rabbanan. So, but that's not what the Mishnah here is describing. The Mishnah is describing where the guy understands what you want and he's doing it for you. Under certain circumstances, that's perfectly legitimate. Under other circumstances, it's not. Turning off the light, the basic distinction is, I'm just mentioning it quickly. The basic distinction is turning off the light is fine. That's siluk. That's a removal of an obstruction, as opposed to turning on the light. Turning on the light, he can't do, even if you don't ask him. But he understands that you want the light on, and he turns the light on for you, so that you can't do that. What do I mean when I say you can't do that? Meaning that you can't benefit from the light that he turned on for you. Okay. Again, it's not a Amir Lakum discussion. We mentioned the Mishnah Shabbos. I just mentioned it briefly. Tashma ben chavish aragel lechetzal avi imo amaretz. Okay, here in America in the 21st century, right? This sounds as contemporary as it is a Tosefta and Demai, right? So the Tosefta describes a scenario where the child goes to his grandfather's house, right? His maternal grandfather. So and it happens to be that the maternal grandfather is an Amaretz. So ein choshen shemayachlan advarim sheinim metukanim. Whenever you go to an Amaretz, what's the problem? The problem is that he doesn't take off Trumas HaMaestros. And so now, right, the conversation between the husband and wife. I'm not letting him go to your parents' house. Your parents. I know it's such a contemporary discussion. So, right, your parents are not, you know, they're not taking off Trumas HaMaestros, and they're gonna feed our child. So the Tosefta and Demai says it's fine. Let him go. He's a child. So Shemiyach Lenadvarim Tamei Metukanim Matzabiyad Paris and Zakuklo. And then when he comes home from a visit to his grandfather, and he's coming home with food, so now he's not only was he eating non-kosher, when I say non-kosher, I mean, right, Demai, right, it's maybe Tevel, right, in other words, he's an Amaretz, the grandfather's an Amaretz. And not only was he eating that while by the grandfather, but he came home and he's got some in his hand. Ein Ain't zakuk la. So the Tosefta, I happen to love this Tosefta. It just fits with my personality. The Tosefta says it's fine. You can relax. You can leave it. So what do you see from this Tosefta? Sounds pretty clear. Ain't beis mitzvah la for sure. You don't have to separate it from him. And by the way, I know I made this point in the introduction. I'll make it again. Over here, we're talking about the parents. We're not talking about just a concerned citizen. We're talking about mom and dad, and still ain't based on mitzvah lahafri show. I'm Rav Yochanan b'demayi kilu. So Rav Yochanan says, look, that's talking about an isur derabbanan. That's talking about demai. Demai is an isur derabbanan, and we've also learned, by the way, just parenthetically, I'll note a number of times throughout Shas that we can even be more lenient when it comes to demai. Under certain circumstances, you can actually feed demai to some people. You can feed demai to the poor. You can feed them to the soldiers who are traveling through. Anyway, so we're talking about demai, so that's why we can relax. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have a statement by Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan says, even if it's not demai, even if it's mamish tevel, if he's eating it for himself, that's fine. If he's bringing it back for you, so that's a problem. So the Gemara says, "Ela Rav Yochanan sefugim misafkelei kai hachematchei kai hachematchei." So the Gemara says, as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, he's unsure. Meaning, by Isur Derabanan, we can all agree now. We've seen already a couple of examples in the Gemara. By Isur Derabanan, you see the child violating Isur Derabanan, there you don't have to stop him whatsoever. If he's violating Isur Deraisa, that's unclear. Now, when I say that's unclear, Rabbi Padas was fine with it. That's where we started the Gemara today. Rav Yochanan was unsure. And so therefore, we're learning one Mishnah. He went one way. We're learning another Mishnah. He went another way. But he himself was unsure. Tashma. Middle of Kuf Yudal Amad Alf. Ben Chavar Kohen Sharagol Alechet Lavim O Kohen Amaretz. En Choshen Shemiyach Lena Truma Temeya Matzabiyadu Peres and Zakukla. Similar Braisa. Here, the father and the mother, Kohanim, she happens to be a Bas Kohen, but her father is an Amaretz. And once again, it's the same discussion. We're not letting the child go to your parents' house. Your dad is eating truma that is Temeya, and our child is going to eat it. And the Braisa says it's fine. It's not a problem. And not only that, the Braisa goes even one step further. When the child comes back from a visit with the grandfather, so and he's got Paris in his hand, and there's probably Shurma Tamea, it's okay. Let the child eat it. So the Gemara says B'Shurma D'Rabbanan. Again, the Gemara says it's not a full proof. It's not a bona fide proof, because it could be that the Shurma in question over there is the D'Rabbanan, not the Braisa. Okay, Tashma. Yonik Tinek V'Olech Me'avodes Kochavim Behemet Tamea. Nursing. A child nursing. So a child can nurse from a non-Jewish wet nurse and from Behemoth Temeah. What a strange visual. But in other words, but the child can nurse from a non-kosher animal. What you can do is you can't feed the child treif. Right? Remember, that is not our discussion. Our discussion is separating a child from treifus. But you can't be yadayim, you can't feed the child. But he can nurse from any one of these non-kosher animals. And you can even do so on Shabbos. However, once the child gets to a point of being older, so then it's forbidden. And then Abishol Omer Noagim Ha'inush Yonkim Mimehim Torah B'Yomtov. Abishol says that on Yomtov we would have the quote unquote older children, so eating from the nursing from kosher animals on Yomtov. A lot of issues going on over here, but again, we're going to just stay streamlined and we're going to stay focused on the one issue, which is Katani Mian Choshe Shem B'Yonik Sheketz. You're having a child nurse from a non-kosher animal. Okay. We know the Gemara in Bechoros says, Rashi over here, quotes the Gemara in Bechoros, we know the Gemara in Bechoros says that Davar Yotzei Min HaTameh is Tameh, that a pig is not kosher, and anything that comes out of the pig, any of the liquids that come out, meaning the milk of a pig, is equally not kosher. So we're talking about not Nisra D'Rabbanan, we're talking about Nisra D'Oraisa. And meanwhile, the child can, if necessary, the child can nurse from the from a non-kosher animal. So, seems pretty clear. So the Gemara says, Hasam, now the Gemara says, we're going to make a distinction. Hasam ishum sakana. So the Gemara says, no. We're talking about an infant. We're not talking about a young child. We're not talking about a toddler. We're talking about an infant. So for an infant, we're talking about a sakana. So Once we're talking about a sakana, we're not in the discussion now of you see him eating Issa, you got to stop him. You don't have to stop him. We're talking about now preservation of life. That is paramount, and that trumps everything. So the Gemara says, if so, gadol nami. So the Gemara says, gadol bayum dana. So the Gemara says, as far as an adult is concerned, I don't mean an adult. I'm sorry. I meant the toddler, right? An older child. As it relates to a toddler, so you need an umdana, meaning you need to see whether or not how necessary it is for this toddler to go ahead and to nurse, right? I understand in our society, children, I don't know how many children nurse altogether. I don't know. I don't have the statistics. But even if children do nurse, we're talking, I mean, you know, 6 months a year, right, in our societies. It used to be in the good old days, children would nurse for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, right? You'll forgive me for making a baseball reference, but Manny Ramirez, as a child, right? As a child, he grew up in such poverty. He testifies. He remembers he was nursing till he was elementary school. In other words, it was. Gave him his hitting ability. So the Gemara says the. But anyway, so when it comes to the toddler, you need an umdana, meaning it's not a sakana. So katanami li by umdana. So the Gemara says, don't you need to buy katan? Amar avuna bereidu of Yeshua stam tinak misukan etzachala. The Gemara says, no, you don't. When it comes to katan, we're talking about an infant, so you don't need an umdana. The assumption is default assumption is a child needs a nurse. A child, an infant needs to nurse. That's clear. That's pashut. So the Gemara says, when the Braisa allows the infant to nurse from a non-kosher animal on Shabbos, so the Gemara says that's pashut. That's obvious that it's a sakana, and there doesn't need to be discussion. When it comes to an older child, a toddler, so there you need an umdana to have him nurse directly from a non-kosher animal or a non-Jewish woman. So that you need an umdana to have him nurse on Shabbos. That you need an umdana. Okay, there is a. Larger discussion to be had over here. I'll mention it also. I'm not going to go into any real depth. And that is a mother nursing on Shabbos. Is that mutter or usser? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi v'lo yachlenu. No, not that Rashi. Chole biyadav. Rashi dibra maskel umdana. Next line in Rashi. Chole biyadav chayiv mishum mefarek. Davra migidulo. Okay, so for a woman to express her milk on Shabbos, Rashi says, is a malacha. Okay, now, this is not me poskening because I never posken. I'm not the posek. But just, in other words, the idea that a woman expressing milk, not nursing a child, just simply expressing milk, so that is a serious issue on Shabbos. Rashi writes over here, it is a subcategory of mefarek. Mefarek means when you're taking something, right, separating something from another thing. Meaning like, you know, it's an analogy, but like, in other words, squeezing juice out of a fruit. On Shabbos, it's usser. So, milking a cow on Shabbos, it's usser. A woman expressing milk out of her body, that's usser. The hayonek, so now what about nursing? So, in other words, now we're talking about a woman expressing milk, but directly into the mouth of an infant. So, Rashi writes, vayonek havim mefarek ayde shinui. So Rashi says that when the child is nursing from the mother, so again, there's a need of the child to drink milk. That's one issue. But the other issue is, what about the woman? In other words, she's expressing milk on Shabbos. Because she's expressing it directly into the mouth of the baby, otherwise known as nursing, so Rashi says that is mefarek kalachar yad. It's quote-unquote an unusual manner, which is difficult to understand because... that's right. That's not understood. Right?
No. That's not milk. Milking your cow.
No, from the point of view of the mother, it's a different way.
Right. In other words, I guess by...
The point being
is that it's mutter, it's permissible. The way Rashi describes it, it's mefarek kalachar yad, and then you take in the health of the child into consideration, and then it would be it's permissible. Okay, so that's and if for more discussion on expressing milk on Shabbos, you can see the third Tosos on the staff where the third Tosos discusses this at length. Okay, Abba Shol Amar Noagimainu Shiyonkim Behema Torah Biyamta. Abba Shol says that we would nurse from kosher animals on Yontif. Hechi dami. The obvious question, what? meaning Yontif, not Shabbos. That's strange. The Gemara says, "Edikas sakanafilu b'Shabbos nami." If we're talking about an infant needs the nurse, so the Gemara says, "Pashut." Obviously, it's okay. V'idalekas sakanafilu b'Yontif aser. And if there's no sakana, so then we're going to make a special exception for Yontif. Yontif, you're also not allowed to do malacha. So lo tzricha diiketzara. So the Gemara says, and by the way, you'll notice the Gemara does not mention a word about ochel nefesh. Meaning, what about Yontif? It's ochel nefesh. Ochel nefesh, like we discussed time and again, we did this in Beitza, allows for a limited number of malachas. It's not carte blanche to do any type of food preparation. And Yontif, we discussed this already before. The Gemara over here doesn't utter a word about ochel nefesh. But anyway, so the Gemara says, lotzricha diiketzara. So the Gemara says there's some pain. The kasavra mefar kalacha yadu. And the Gemara says, look, nursing is, I quoted Rashi. The Gemara says it. Nursing is mefar kalacha yad. It's an unusual way in doing so, getting it directly from the source. Shabbos disrus kila gazra rabbanan. Yamtav diisr lav lo gazra bei rabbanan. So the Gemara says, when it comes to Shabbos, that's an isrus kila. Okay, in other words, the worst case scenario of a violation of Shabbos is that it's a capital crime punishable by death. Yontif, worst case scenario, a willful violation of Yontif is a lav, so therefore by Shabbos the stakes are higher, so therefore for tzar, for pain, even though what are we talking about? We're talking about violating a malacha kila achayad, doing so in an unusual way, which now downgrades it to a derabanan. So on a derabanan for a Shabbos, so the Gemara says that no, on a derabanan for Yontif, because the stakes are lower on Yontif, so the Gemara says that's okay. Again, in a limited context, meaning in this particular context where there's also tzar, there's also pain involved as well for the child. Tashma, again, we're back to the beginning of the whole discussion. If you see a child eating Isurim or violating Isurim, do you have to stop him from the Isur, yes or no? Rabbi Buda says you don't have to stop him. Rav Yochanan was unsure. We continue now discussing this topic. Tashma lo sachilam kishekatem lo sachilam lazia gedolam al katanim. Sorry. What I didn't do correctly is I didn't read the pasuk correctly. I injected the drasha into the pasuk. Lo sochlum. Don't eat the non-kosher. Kishekatem, because it's not kosher. And then the Gemara darshins, lo sa'achilam. Not only don't eat it, don't feed it to others. That's the drasha. So my love, so the Gemara says, now what does it mean, don't feed? Doesn't it mean that if you see a child eating non-kosher, you have to say to him, stop? The Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. It actually means, literally, don't feed them. Okay, Tashma. We're going to make the same exact point regarding blood. So my love, if you see a child drinking blood, so don't you have to tell the child, no, don't do that, stop, it's blood. That's on top of everything, it's disgusting. So the Gemara says, lo, delo, lisfalu b'yadayim. The Gemara says, no, don't feed the child blood. But if the child's drinking blood on its own, you don't have to stop him. Tashma. Amor, v'amar t'lazir g'dolam alakitanim. The beginning of Parshas Amor, where the Kohanim have to tell their children, their young children, hey, you're a Kohen, you can't come into contact with mace. So my lav de amrulu lo li tamu. So lav de lo li tamu lu b'yadayim. And again, the Gemara says, it doesn't mean that if you see the child going into a cemetery, you have to say, hey, stop. It means don't actually physically be mitame the child. Which is a little bit strange. What's the father who's a Kohen? Yeah, what's he doing? Holding onto human remains? Grandfather. Once again, going back to the grandfather. So anyway, utzrichi. We made the same point three times over. We made it by non-kosher food, we made it by blood, and we made it by Tumas Kohanim. The Gemara says it's not repetitive. They're necessary. We're on the top of Kuf, Yudalam, and Beis. Mishum di Isurim b'mashahu. When it comes to Shekets, you don't need a lot of Isur. You only need the size of a adasha, size of a lentil bean. Okay, generally speaking, that's a shear for tumah, not for achila. See Tosfos over here who discusses that. But anyway, You only need a little bit. So aval dam de ad ika revias emalah. But when it comes to blood, you need a revias of blood in order to violate the Isra Torah. V'yashminan dam mishem de ika kares. Now blood, the violation, willful violation of eating blood is kares. That's not true by non kosher food. Aval shrat de emalah. V'yashminan honey tar to mishem de Isra and shava bekol. Aval tuma emalah. When it comes to tuma, that's only limited to the kohanim. I might have thought it'd been different. V'yashminan tumas kohanim shani mishem de ribam kohen mitzvos yiseros. And when it comes, and if the Torah only would have told me Tumas Kohanim are special. They have, quote unquote, not quote unquote, they have extra mitzvos. So I might have thought that they have to stop the children from Tumas Mace. But the rest of us could be a little bit more lax. So I am alo tzricha. So the Gemara says every one of these points is necessary. Okay, and with this we're going to now conclude. We're going to quote three sections of our Mishnah, which is going to try to speak to the idea of whether or not someone violating an Isser, whether you have to stop or not, you don't have to stop. Now, mind you, by the way, this is going to get interesting. We have been discussing throughout this entire discussion children, stopping children from violating Isserim. Why is the discussion being centering around children? Because they're not Chayv Mitzvos. Because they're children. The Gemara now is going to extend that idea to anyone who's not chayv mitzvos, meaning a cheresh. They're not obligated mitzvos. In order to be chayv mitzvos, you have to have das. If you don't have das, you're not chayv mitzvos. So now it's fascinating. We're going to extend this concept to a cheresh. Tashma, shnei achim echa pikech vecha cheresh nesun shtei achayos pikachos meis cheresh baal pikachos ma yaseh pikech baal pikachos. Remember the case of the Mishnah. We have two brothers married to two sisters, and the two brothers are smart. And one brother smart, one the other one's cheresh. And the two sisters, both of them are smart. So meis cheresh ba pikachas, ma yaseh pikech ba pikachas, teitzeh mishum achos isha. So there, it's an erva, so there's no mitzvah yibum. Meis pikech ba pikachas, and what happens now if the pikech dies? Ma yaseh cheresh ba pikachas, what does the cheresh do? Motzeh isha begets, so he has to divorce his wife, isha sachiv asur la'olam. And the sister is going to be, his sister-in-law is going to be asur. So amai motzias ishto beget, and now the Gemara is asking a simple question. He has to divorce his wife. Why? Meaning he's a cheresh.
Right.
He's not obligated to mitzvos. What's the problem? Tase of gabei katan ochel nevelosu. It's no different than a katan. So the Gemara says mishum isuri dida. The Gemara says if it were just him by himself, the Gemara says I understand the argument. It's not just him by himself. What about her? She's a pikacha. She's obligated mitzvah. You can't put her in a situation, in a position where she's going to be violating an isser. And again, the isser is that now she is achaz zekukaso. She is the sister of a shomeres yavam. Okay, Tashma. We'll do one more. We're not going to finish the parak, but let's just do one more. It's going to be basically the same idea. Here we're going to be discussing where one of the sisters is a chereshes. So, if the Pikacha sister-in-law is being presented to Shomer Yavam, so she goes away because she's an erva. Meis pikech ba pikachas ma yaseh pikech ba chereshes motzeh isha beget ve'eshes achav bechalitza. So here he's got to divorce his wife because she's achav zekukaso, and also for his zekuka is Shomer Yavam. His yavama, he's got to give her chalitza. Ve'amai motzeh isha beget teisav gabe, and again. What's the big deal? His wife is a chereshes. What's the big deal? Katan ochel nevelosu. Mishum isuri didei. So the Gemara says because of his iser. Again, she's a chereshes, so for her it would not be a problem, but he's not, he's a pikech. So the Gemara says, so that's why the marriage has to maintain. Okay, we're going to do, we have one more of these to go. We'll save it for tomorrow. We'll finish the parak tomorrow. And we'll start the 15th parak tomorrow. Learning we do this morning is an Ilui Nishmas Shakri Shlomo Ben Mashallah.